Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air.
Oh, geez, I'm supposed to hit the button.
It's me.
There we go.
Oh, that was all me. That was all my fault. This is, ladies and gentlemen, my best buddy, Bob Schneider. Got my bed turned on. We're using Bob's music this week because we're very excited. I've been corresponding with Bob back and forth via email, and he has said not only can we use any music we'd like at any time, but he's going to write something specifically for the Off the Air podcast. Bob Schneider from the CD, The California. That's a good man. Hi, welcome back to Off the Air. I'm Chick McGee. My co-host, my girlfriend Jess, is here. Say hello, Jess.
Hello, Jess.
Hilarious. Killing me already.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a very special, unbelievable podcast this week. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is the one, the only, Bob Zaney.
Is my mic on now?
Yes, Bob.
Okay. It was turned off earlier, and you know what? I don't know if I like the way it began.
You don't know the whole, you don't like the whole, the way it started.
No, I love how it started. I just didn't like the direction of your mic's turned off. Thank you, Jason.
Sometimes,
does it even exist in the podcast?
Yes, and our producer, Jason, is here. Thank you.
Good.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Bob.
See, Jason has a role on the show. He talks, he
runs the board.
He does everything pretty much that's important other than...
I'm everything but Chick McGee.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
But you know what they say, behind every good man is you.
Good producer.
All right.
Let's go to the emails as we do every episode. First of all, once again, as I like to do every time, thanks for downloading the podcast. We really, unbelievable. It's still unbelievable, and thank you very much. This is from Brad. Subject, unbelievable. All right. I like you, can always hear the shit in every attaboy. In other words, I understand what it's like to hear the negative in a positive comment. Ah, I see it. I'll do my best to state this in a manner that will make it impossible to take anything away but what is intended. I've listened to the Bob and Tom Show for at least 12 years, and I've thought to myself, this show would be great if there was more Chick. You have made this dream come true with your podcast. Your conversations with us, the listener, make us feel like old friends. Your sense of humor, at least on air or on off the air, is self-deprecating and hilarious. Thank you, Brad, very much. You've said on Bob and Tom, it's okay to have a man crush. I have two, Dan Patrick and Chick McGee. If that makes me crazy, I don't want to be sane. Love the Off the Air podcast. Hi to Jess. Hey to Jason. That, of course, as we said, from Brad. Well, thank you, Brad, very much.
Which one's better, a hi or a hey?
I think it's a male-female thing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey is to a girl?
Yeah, if I saw a girl, I'd say hi. And if I saw a guy, I'd be like, what's up?
Hey. Hey. Hey, bro.
What's up, bro?
Is that what you do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
And grab my crotch.
What the?
I think I've seen her grab her crotch.
I know. I've seen her grab her crotch because I've been staying at the house for 2 days.
That's right.
Yeah.
We need to get it. We're going to get into that. But Bob Zaney is graciously consented to be on the podcast with us because he's in town for an extended period, and he's been staying in our home.
You said that, or you charged me rent. So I'm doing the podcast, okay?
Oh, that's right.
I get paid for my work. I'm Bob Zaney.
Let's see. What does DOC mean? The Department of Corrections? What's this guy?
I think
Department of Corrections.
From Jason. Okay, the DOC has me searching through my inner psyche and finding that I am a self-centered, borderline personality disordered introvert.
Maybe Doc. Maybe he's referring to the Dr. Will episode.
Oh, okay. Maybe not Department of Corrections
up,
at
doc?
All.
Yeah.
The Doc.
The Doc.
Let's see. I'm all of that, the personality disordered introvert. Nothing 2 dozen donuts, a bowl of popcorn, and a bag of cookies can't cover up. But now I know that I have others in this world that have a giant head just as I do, sporting an 8 1/8 inch chrome dome.
Wow.
Shaved it for reflective purposes. This is referring to our uncle, John Mark, who was on our podcast. I forget what number it was. 8, I believe. John Mark, Uncle, you know Uncle John.
Oh yeah, I love Uncle John.
Yeah, he has a big head, and we covered that on the podcast. That's how I met John Mark, noticing his big head. And this gentleman also has a large head. He says podcast is badass. Thank you, and it makes my day when a new one is ready for the masses. I look forward to Friday, and if we keep doing them at the pace we're doing them, look for them every other day.
Oh no, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
God. Okay. Thank you, Jason. Dear Chick, love the show. This is from Amanda. Just a short note saying, I love the podcast. I've been a fan of yours for about 5 or 6 years. I just found out about it and got all caught up on all the shows. I think it's an awesome idea and love the fact you bring Jessica and her family into the mix as well, finding out about comedians that others might not have heard of. I loved Jeff Bodart. I'm not sure of that name.
I don't know.
Jeff Bodart, Jess, are you aware of?
Boo.
Quick story about Jeff Bodart. In my phone, I have a phone book and all the listings and the numbers. And someone got into my phone, and instead of it saying Jeff Bodart next to his number, it says Bodart, dot, dot, dot.
Boo.
You're not a fan?
No, I just...
No, she, wait, was, that she
week,
teases
that week
him.
That I did that, I was tired of him going, I'm texting Bodart, I'm texting Bodart.
Wait till I leave the house,
Zany.
Yeah.
You're here. You're tired of hearing Jeff Bodart?
I'm tired. I'm the one that brought you two together.
You did bring us two together in
Columbus,
Indiana.
I could not do the gig. I said, Chick will do it with you and blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know it, I'm staying at your house.
I don't know what your problem
That's
is.
That's true. We had Bodart at our house last Sunday to watch football, and then Bob was here this Sunday. Two people who know nothing. Chick was so
And all I'm
off.
Saying is, when Bodart was there, Redskins win. Bob Zaney was there. Redskins lose.
You didn't because they were playing
the Los Angeles Rams. That's why.
We had the discussion about they're not Los Angeles Rams.
I am from LA. They are Rams.
St. Louis Rams. Where am I? Jessica and her family in the mix. Love Jeff Bodart. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Amanda. Go Chickmunks, she says. Dear Chick from Bart. Bob.
Whoa. Those are specific questions.
Huh? What?
See the top right? On that paper.
Oh, I'm done with this section.
Right.
Thank you, Jason, for producing. You know, you're not supposed to produce in front of the ears of the listener unless it's a lost cause as your talent, and then you got to step
yeah,
in where
you
can.
Yeah, and
you
don't press the button on the...
Is that playing? Are we turned
up? I turned it down. Because
Why'd you turn it down?
Well, because
man?
I need to fade it out.
Hit it, baby. Hit it.
All right. Go.
No, it's not playing now. I'm having deja vu. This is Bob Schneider.
And Bob Zaney's on the show.
Okay. Oh.
You were just singing this in the shower earlier.
I was singing it in the shower earlier.
Biscuits and gravy?
Do you like songs with biscuits? Isn't there a...
Ball and Biscuit, White Stripes,
White
baby.
Stripes has a
Badass.
Song.
Badass.
Yeah.
Badass.
Do you guys remember that song, Buttermilk Biscuits? I think it was like a rap song when we were young. Mm.
No.
Oh,
Smack
really?
Smack the batter on the dough. Clap your hands and stomp your feet. No? Okay.
I like what you're doing there.
Like that?
I think it's cute.
I like that very much.
It seems like you're into it.
I am into it.
Chick, this
hey,
is
the microphone's way. Up. Couldn't get it if you're going
to... You know, I'm comfortable.
He's starting to check out. If you're going to lean back, pull the microphone back.
Get comfy. Do it. Do your thing.
I'm kicking it.
There you go.
I don't know if you need to be so spread leg like
long, you know what? Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're welcome.
This is exciting. Do you know that you and I started out with a rivalry? Remember that in the beginning?
Here's the thing I was trying to remember. This is a great opportunity because you have been doing the Zany Report on the Bob and Tom Show for 15 years.
Yep.
This is somewhat of an anniversary.
And a milestone, really. And
Absolutely.
In radio, that's like 75 years, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's utterly amazing.
You can't keep anybody together that long.
No,
in
you
radio.
Can't.
No.
I'm the fifth Beatle.
More or less.
On the Bob and Tom
Sure.
Show. Why not?
I mean, how did we start out as a rivalry? What are you talking about?
We used to, when I'd call in, we'd go after each other.
We did?
Yeah. Don't you remember that in the beginning? Jason, were you around then when I first started calling in 97?
Jason's been around.
I've been around a while. I mean, there's been quite an evolution of Bob Zaney.
There really has.
15 years. So I don't recall the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Probably I didn't think it was going to last.
Well, good. And, so I didn't think, and I didn't think you were going to last it.
Here's
here we
the
are.
Thing. Here's the thing about the Bob Zaney Report that a lot of people don't understand. First of all, I need to speak on this topic at the start of the podcast. Bob Zaney, dear friend, one of my closest friends, let alone co-worker.
Yeah.
Secondly, this gentleman absolutely kills every night, every weekend, whenever he's working, wherever he's working, in the United States, Canada, Virgin Islands?
No.
Costa Rica? Guam.
I'm Guam.
There's nobody funnier on stage than Bob Zaney, period, end of story. Secondly, He does a little bit different on our show because for whatever – well, I know why we started to do it. It's incredibly tough to write jokes for any topic, anything, week after week after week. Not only do you keep coming up with funny jokes every week, is that sometimes – and it, quite honestly, the jokes misfire a little bit. However, in my book, I think when he's like Carson in that, is that when I was a kid, I wanted Johnny's jokes to fail because there was nothing like him standing there.
Oh, he was the master.
So
no,
anyway, I meant brick. You know, it would just put me away every time, and that's what we do on the show. And if there's any idiots out there who think, oh, well, Bob and Tom and Chick, they all hate Zany because he's not funny. That's ridiculous. You're a professional. You've been a comedian for 84 years, and you're funny every single night. And
35.
And on behalf of the show, I'd like to thank you for calling in for 15 years.
Thank you. It's been
a labor of love, isn't it?
It is a labor of love.
It's a labor.
Because some weeks it really is a labor of love. But like Johnny Carson was the best at that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
They showed a documentary where he starts telling a joke that bombs, and this guy gets up to leave, but it was a two-part joke. Johnny knew the second part would work. He says, no, just wait a second. Just wait. You have to wait for the next part. And he does the next part, kills, and the guy goes, oh, okay, you're right, and he sat back down.
And he sat back down, and so, Johnny killed him.
But you know, it has evolved.
You remind me of Carson.
I love Carson.
I think in a fairer, is that a word? Universe, if you could have had a talk show like Carson's done that and interviewed and the monologue, it would have been
well. That's crazy, what my stand up show is that way. By working the crowd, I think I am doing a talk show, so that's how I present it. But I did get one bacon number close to Carson. Ed McMahon for 16 years on the Jerry Lewis Telethon.
That's right.
Would stand off to the side and introduce me
and
laugh. And if a joke didn't work, he said, "What was that, Bob?" And he would save me. I've done the telephone probably like 6-7 years, and you know, I go out to the stage and I start sweeping the floor, going to Jerry Lewis. You know, Jerry, I love you. I'll do anything for the telephone. Mm-hmm. And I yell, "Dustpan, Ed!" And Ed McMahon runs over with the dustpan for the sketch.
The Ed McMahon.
Yeah. And then you know, he starts walking away. I said, "Johnny called. He's not coming out of retirement." And it was just like things like that. The Jerry Lewis Telethon, every year that I did a set, I made sure there was something funny within the set that.
One of the coolest, greatest weekends of mm-hmm. my life is, and Jess also had an incredible time. We went to Vegas to see you do the telethon live. We were in the, I don't know if people remember this or realize it was us or not, but you had it set up. We were sitting in the crowd. Mm-hmm. And we were supposed to be your aunt and uncle from Wisconsin or something.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We were on our phone.
Yeah, we were on our phone. The joke was, Bob goes, "I'm very excited, of course, here on the telethon. My aunt and uncle from Wisconsin are here, and they're supposed to take a picture of us, and we're both on our cell phones or something." Not really paying attention to Bob, which once again is self-deprecating. Yeah, me?
Right.
You don't remember that?
No, I completely forgot. That was very because you really committed to that cell phone because you actually were making a call.
Mm-hmm. I think you might have been.
You were checking for a babysitter.
Yeah, or something
but,
like that.
One year I'm doing the set, and they interrupt me from the booth. The director of Voice of God says, "Bob, you know, you've been on a telethon a long time, and we've put together a best of tape. Would you mind if we run it now?" I said, "Yeah, go ahead." So they run like, you know, 45 seconds. I'm not in the tape whatsoever. And I said, "Well, I thought you said it was a best of tape. Why aren't I in it?" And then nothing. It was very funny.
See what they do? That's when you're at your funniest.
But I did it on purpose. I'm the one who created that whole thing. I just loved, you know, I love stand-up, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I love to do things that, you know, aren't expected in stand-up.
Right.
Being challenged. You know, when we did the hour special in Galesburg that you so graciously was part of,
mm-hmm.
I had a Lincoln and Mary Todd impersonator in the balcony. Of this theater in Galesburg,
and I
turned to him and said, "President Lincoln, I think you should leave the play early."
Might want to leave a little early.
Yeah, and then I had two old guys who were the Muppets. Remember that?
Waldorf and Astoria.
I mean,
or Statler and Waldorf. Yeah.
So it's not just monology. Is that their names?
No, Statler and Waldorf.
Waldorf's Astoria.
That sounds like a piano at the mall.
In New York.
Yes, Jason.
Now, when you guys went to Vegas and watched Bob,
yeah,
the best story that came from that whole trip, what didn't have anything to do with Zany.
Mm-hmm.
It was getting to meet some other person.
Oh, my God.
Who set that up?
Oh, this is giant. Yeah.
Who set that up?
Bob, I love Tom Bergeron. I love Tom Bergeron.
Okay, you only have to say it once.
I love Tom Bergeron.
Oh, she's so in love with that guy.
So, does he host the telethon? I mean, did he host a part of it?
Him and I co-hosted for 3 or 4 years together.
Okay.
So that's how I knew him. Mm-hmm. So he would be at Jerry's podium. Oh, and okay. I would be at Ed's station.
Oh, okay.
And then we were co-hosting the show like that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Bob set it up backstage that I got to meet Tom Bergeron. And I had my picture taken with him. And Jason knows because it hung in our office for so long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we shared
an office. He was a really great guy. And I remember the first day he came to the telethon because I'd been there for like 10 years. And he says, well, Bob, I'm just going to watch and learn from you on what I need to do. And I'm just going, you're Tom Bergeron. You don't need to say that, you know?
He's
I'm
kind Bob of a Jane. Natural
he's
hoster.
So great.
Oh, he had great stories about, there's a thing called the Nappy Convention. That's where you go to sell syndicated shows. And he had so many great stories about, because he's been in everything. I mean, he's just a consummate pro.
Yeah.
That's an unfortunately named convention.
And I think he started Nappy? In radio.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Like in Boston. Yeah. He was gigantic.
Yeah.
I think it was Boston. Yeah.
Great guy. And, you know, I got to work with Casey Kasem on the telethon. I mean, think about that. I got to work with Shaggy on the telethon.
Gosh, Goob.
Yep. And many stars. It was an incredible experience. And this is the second year I didn't do it. As you know, it went to 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And then it went to six the year before. And the first year I wasn't on it after 17 doing it consistently. They said, well, why aren't you on it this year? I said, well, I think someone else isn't on it either.
Yeah,
Mr. Jerry's Lewis. No longer, yeah, Jerry wasn't there
Jerry's,
either. So.
Wasn't on it this year.
So you can't take it personally.
No.
That's exactly right.
What's in your contract? No Jerry, no Bob.
There's no contract. That was a labor of love, too. You know, I never got paid for it. I did it just to go do and support MDA. It's an incredible cause. But I remember all the production people, they all got paid, you know, and it was really funny how they would brag about they get 3 times the amount because it was a holiday. I said, oh, well, as long as you're here for the right reasons.
The power of the union.
Yeah.
Yeah,
about that.
Young Bob Zaney.
Yep.
One of the few comedians grew up, raised, lived off Los Angeles, right?
Born and raised in West Covina, which is a suburb about 30 miles east of Los Angeles, but it's Los Angeles County. And I went to high school at West Covina High, class of 79.
Football star?
Not star, but I did make the team.
We just talked about this.
Yeah, I know, but I went on.
You guys have this in common. His parents only came to one game, too.
Yeah.
Senior year, last game, last chance, they made it.
That was the most important thing. My dad was disappointing Steve and Tony, my older brothers, because they did not go out for sports.
Now, we met Tony, right?
You met Tony in Las Vegas.
We were in Vegas.
Big Tony.
Tony is a storm chaser.
He's a storm chaser in Wichita, Kansas.
He chases storms. Yeah. Is that where he is right now?
We yes,
need
he
to
is.
Send him some sort of correspondence and tell him about the off-the-air podcast.
We should do
with
that.
With his brother.
Well, I haven't been talking to him lately, so why don't you? Maybe you can intervene.
Hang on. Is that the way it works in your family? Don't talk to each other for extended periods?
Things happen.
Anything but you can talk about or want to talk about?
You know, I asked Tony, I said, Storm Chaser, how much does that pay? He said, well, let me look at my unemployment check.
Is that kind of a dream of his to be a storm chaser?
I don't know.
Always?
What was
he before he was a storm chaser?
He was a limo driver in Las Vegas. And he picked
Was that a dream of his to be a limo driver?
No, he wants to have a podcast.
Not everybody lives out their dreams like you and Bob.
Tony was the funniest. Tony is the funniest in the family.
Yeah, that's
he
true.
Was?
We're very lucky. Tony's the funniest?
Yeah,
why you're mad at him? Because he's funnier than you?
Yeah. Did you rank him? Did your dad come out with
is
some...
Is she a sidekick or she just happens to be here today?
Oh, she's funny.
I know.
She sneaks right up
trust
on
me.
You.
Look at that face. I got to meet young
Jess. Look at that face.
What's my nickname for you?
He calls me Winnie.
That's
Winnie.
That's right.
When we were on the road together, when we would sell merch. I don't know how that started.
How did that start?
Because I thought you were like Winnie Cooper from the TV show.
I jokingly, somebody misunderstood something I said. And they said, is this your daughter? And Bob goes, yep.
Yep.
And so we just, it kind of stuck.
I go with the flow. I don't get frustrated by that. Because you're young enough to be my daughter had I had kids. But I had dogs and cats.
Baby.
That's the thing. You know what? My inner circle of friends, and you and I were talking about this chick. I mean, obviously, you're one of them. Jess just happens to be there.
Right.
Well, she's a girl.
Going to make the cut.
But no, what I'm saying is they will mock me with my act. I mean, they will start doing one of my jokes just to see how I react. And it's like, I have certain jokes I've been doing for a long time, but as you know, I work the crowd, so my act changes every show. Mm-hmm. But I have the staples that, you know, starts up the show.
Daddy's got needs.
Baby.
I got shit to do.
Oh, that's right.
I got to clean the garage.
Well, I, you know, Jason, the setup of the joke is, have you seen this massage chair they have where you sit down in it and it talks to you, and for a dollar, it'll massage you for 3 minutes?
Okay.
Okay. Well, I said, and you can't, and it's, this is true, when it's done, it says, thank you for coming. You can't write that.
Thank you for coming.
Then I say, you know, there's a woman sitting next to me. She'd been in the chair about 45 minutes. Finally, the chair said, can you come already? And then I leaned down to a lady in the row and said, because you women take your time. I've got shit to do. The garage isn't going to clean itself. And chick, every time I do that, I look off to the side, double floor.
And he's laughing.
Every time. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that not good?
No. I thought your joke would have something to do with, can I fix your joke?
Sure. Here, that'd be great.
Wait a minute. I'm going to write down Jess's favorite joke that you do.
Okay. No, but I was thinking
I'm
when
just
you said
gonna
that.
I'm just going to write down two words, and you're going to match that with the joke that you like.
Okay, I don't know. You said it's a chair that talks to you?
It does. When you sit down, it talks.
How much does it cost for it to not talk to you?
Ah, there you go.
I like that.
Yeah.
They're right. We fixed the joke.
That's very nice. I'm going to write that. Can I write that down right now during the podcast? That's very good. How much for you not to talk to me?
Yeah.
That's called a hooker chair.
Yeah.
Actually, she wrote you another joke.
I didn't write the joke.
Yes, you did.
I helped.
I thought it was beautiful.
It was a sad note joke because, you know, I like to bring up people who die because it's only natural. And it was a Zany Report joke.
We were on the road.
Yeah, the father of joint custody law passed away. I forget his name. Mm-hmm. And I said the sad part, his children couldn't attend their funeral because it wasn't his weekend.
And I just said the because it wasn't his weekend.
Oh, that's, she wrote, that's the joke. Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah.
Well,
like that.
But it's coming from a broken home. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I was able to get that in there.
I'll tell you about that joke, though. Broken. That joke gets a very mixed response.
It does. I think, you know, it does.
People just don't really want to get into that joke because half that crowd is, you know, that's what happened.
They understand.
Yeah, they're living the Levita Loca.
Give me a break.
What's your favorite Bob Zany joke?
I don't know. Can you show it to me?
No, because I was going to write it down and try to match.
Oh, okay. My favorite Bob Zany joke is...
I'll call you and I'll go. He just said...
Honey, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I just showed it to her and she remembers.
I don't even know if you still do that.
No, she remembers. Yeah.
I don't want to wreck the joke for everybody.
Go ahead. Well,
okay, we'll wreck it.
Do you want to wish?
Just wreck it.
Wreck it. I can fix it.
It's the Easter egg grass.
Oh, I haven't done that for a while.
Let me keep this joke fresh.
I have a bag of Easter grass and a Ziploc.
And
I said, don't ever buy marijuana from the Easter Bunny. I hold it up.
And that voice of his, and then he puts it back in the Ziploc bag and goes.
I got to keep this fresh. My favorite part, joke fresh. But my favorite part is like if I do that joke and say like May, because I can't get any more till March.
Right. Yes.
That's the line. I like that joke. That was actually on MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour when I was doing props. And I just brought it back because people would come up to me after shows and say, I saw you on this, I saw you on that. Mm-hmm. You did this joke. And I thought, you know, why don't I bring a couple of these back? Because people really liked them. Because you have a repertoire when you do for 30 years.
A list of things you do.
And then, you know what, the thing about stand-up is if you do 45 minutes to an hour and you add some new stuff, something has to be pushed out. And sometimes you don't even know if you pushed it out until later on someone reminds you of a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good that you can push it out. But at some point, I mean, I've done 7 CDs. So that's a lot of material. You know who has a lot of material? Bob Marley, the comic out of Portland, Maine.
Bob Marley, not the
reggae star. There's Bob Marley, the comedian, very funny guy.
Really?
And I played Portland, Maine, and they have a glass case as you walk in, and he must have 24 separate CDs available.
Holy moly.
That is prolific.
That's crazy.
That's amazing. Yeah, because it's a lot of work. And Jason actually edited a couple of mine. Were they the Bengal CDs? Or was it an actual CD?
There was a Bengal. There was another one in there, too. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's time for a new one.
How about a greatest hits?
Greatest hits? Well, actually, what I'm going to do is the Galesburg Hour Special, we're going to turn that into a CD because I'd love to make an announcement on the podcast that's going to be available in about a month on Amazon.com. Close But No Cigar, My Look at My Career.
Oh, the movie. Yeah,
and then
sure.
We're going to package it with the 1 hour special because that was the underlying storyline about I never had a 1 hour special.
And it was that's the documentary that you...
Close, but no... Yes, yeah. You're in it, though. You don't say it that way.
No, I'm in it for like, I don't know. I'm
and Jessica's in it.
I'm at the end.
She's in it more than I am.
She has a very funny line.
She's in it more than I am.
I did a joke.
Jason, did you get to see the documentary?
I've seen the trailer.
Everyone sees the trailer. But yeah. Jessica was very funny.
It made me wanted to see it.
I'm going to get everybody copies. I'm going to come
there's
in.
There's lots of copies in my house right now.
Yeah, you can't walk into the fucking office.
Anyway, she had this real stupid joke. But the point is...
Anyways.
Well, you know, I'm just saying.
See what we do?
Yeah, I'm going to fix it. No,
if you want to hear the joke, get the movie. Oh,
this is an interesting point. This is very important right now.
You're saying shut up, chick.
No, I'm not.
He's waving you off.
No, I am not. And I apologize. What I was going to get at is when you're a comedian, people expect you to be always joking. And I'm very good at that. But once I'm serious and then someone starts joking at me, now I know what they're going through.
That's right.
You know, I'm trying to make a poignant point, and all of a sudden,
That's interesting you bring that up because that's true.
And we just had this conversation with your good friend Greg Warren about how... He likes to joke with your merchandise.
Oh, joke? He gives it away. It's called thievery.
That's out stealing.
I know. People say, well, why don't you have any more bobbers? Because Greg Warren gave them away. I couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I told him I had to sell at least 100 before I get to the profits.
Yeah.
But I don't know why.
And then he just started throwing his CDs into the crowd.
Oh, of course I did.
Damn right I did.
It's only fair play. But Greg's a lot of fun to work on the road with. Very funny guy. And he gave me a joke that's in my act now that he didn't want to do. And I don't actually do the joke. It's my dad does the joke in my act because my dad is in my act. Though he's dead, let's be honest.
That's a good story.
You want to share it with us? That'd probably make it a better
well,
story.
Well, you know what? It could be misconstrued as kind of weird that I talk about my dad like he's alive and my dog Norman's still alive, you know. No, the joke is, because my dad wanted to teach me about how to pick up on a woman when I turned 21, so he took me to a bar, and he said, just watch me. He went at this beautiful woman at the bar and said...
I think it's pick up a woman.
Pick up a woman?
Up on a woman.
No, not the way I do it.
I'm there for a reason.
Okay?
You know what? That's you, Bob. Nobody else could say that sentence and get a laugh.
True. Right. That's true.
You know? Not the way I do it, baby.
That's right. Well, it's true. I'm a little out of practice.
Okay, so you're
I'm thinking about a dinner.
We're working on it.
No pressure. So he says, watch me. He goes over this beautiful woman at the bar and says, was your father a thief? And she said, why? Because he stole the stars in disguise and put them in my eyes? He said, no, because you're Puerto Rican. And Greg Warren did that joke one night, and he says, I can't do that joke anymore. He said, I'll take it. And I couldn't even see Greg doing that joke. No one can. That's why it has to be someone else doing that joke.
It's that attitude.
Yeah.
But
that would be something my dad actually would say. I mean, my dad wrote this, told me the same five jokes my whole life, and then said, Bobby, I got to write for you. And I said, Dad, you should look up the word prolific. He said, had I used one, you wouldn't be here. Not a master of the English language, my father, but a good man. Hard worker. That's where I get my work ethic fun.
He was a house painter, right?
House painter. I did it for 15 years. You painted houses, didn't you, a little bit or no?
My dad did.
Your dad did. You never helped?
No,
That was the job.
I was going to school. I was around my parents for 0 to 18, sort of. And
I do know that I had five different jobs when I was in college. I was studying radio and TV broadcasting at Mount Sac Antonio College. I was going to get an AS degree in it.
Mount Sac?
Mount Sac, yeah. Mount San Antonio, that was
like
the
a
nickname.
Container for your testicles?
Yes,
sack?
Exactly.
Mount Sac?
I don't know how I did not just come out and say that.
What the hell kind of a name for a college is Mount Sac?
It's a junior college, chick. And when back then they would call it was high school with ashtrays. That's what they called it.
Oh, really?
Because you used to be able to smoke in class and stuff.
Anyway, there you are at Mount Sac.
Studying radio and TV broadcasting. I had five different jobs. I had a gardening business. I was a waiter. I was a
oh my gosh, you were a
houses.
Waiter?
I was a waiter. I was a
were
comedy
you,
waiter.
Like, passive aggressive and awful?
Sure.
Yeah. You were a comedy waiter?
I was hired to be
What the hell is that?
There was a Howard Johnson's in Monrovia, California, and I used to deliver. The other job I had was United Rental, so we delivered tables and chairs for parties. And the woman who worked there, I would make her laugh. She said, I'd like you to be a comedy waiter tonight. You come in here and you start telling jokes and serve drinks. And I did, and it worked out.
Wow.
And I got some tips, so that was kind of fun.
You nailed it.
I nailed it.
It sounds like he did, that they based the TV show Party Down.
Oh, yeah.
Like the rent. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
Party Down.
It's very funny.
I'm actually seeing nothing nowadays.
My good friend, really have no life. My good friend Adam Scott's on that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I don't know.
None of these people are your friends.
I just say he's my good friend because I want to be his friend. He's on Parks and Recreation now.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, a little dark-haired guy. My good friend Adam Scott.
I think this was all about work ethic because my dad instilled that in me. So I had those jobs. I was doing that, and I was doing stand-up wherever they'd let me. I mean, I did talent contests.
Gotta go up, Bobby. Gotta go up.
I did one talent contest. I'll never forget this. It was at a really bad biker bar, and I brought my friend Shelly Schoenberger from high school, and I'm on stage.
Jewish?
Huh?
Jewish?
German.
Okay.
Anyway.
Everybody thought she was German.
I don't care.
Shelly
Schoenberger? I'll tell you my Israel story in a bit, too.
Oh, yeah, you went to Israel.
I performed there for 2 years.
Wail at the wall.
Yeah, I was the token goy. Anyway.
Where were we?
So
Shelly Schoenberger.
So I'm at this bar. And I'm on stage, not more than a minute, and one of the tough guys yells, "Suck my cock, motherfucker." Okay? So I'm like, I'm 17 years old.
Wow.
I don't even
and
know.
Shelly,
hang on. Now that's a heckle.
That's a heckle.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting, Shelly's in the back of the room by a pool table, and I went, "Well, thank you. You all been great. Good night." Because the moment he said that, I just envisioned her on the table and about eight guys. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I'm
like,
I had to protect her.
Yeah.
So I grabbed her, got in her little Toyota truck, and got the hell out of there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I've had a lot of those stories starting.
That's got to be the ultimate heckle.
Oh, God.
What do you say to that?
If someone said that now, obviously I could deal with it. But when you're 17 doing stand-up and you have a girl over there that you like and you want to protect her, I just saw bad things happening for some reason.
Wow.
I did a backyard party open for a band. I'll never forget beer cans being thrown at me during my set.
This wasn't last week, was it?
About Tuesday.
It was in our backyard yesterday.
That's right.
I was waiting for the train. Had a little time to kill. I thought I'd do new five. No, but that's what people don't understand. It's like I'm mentoring a couple of people in comedy right now. One's a 15-year-old kid named Carl. Why is that funny? He's a really nice kid. He's funny.
I'm sure he's great, but you're his mentor?
I'm a mentor. And I've been mentoring.
He's 15?
Yeah, and I've been mentoring Zan. I've been helping her out with her stuff.
Right,
So
this kid you're talking about follows me on Twitter, and he has a picture of
Carl
us,
the Card.
Me and Carl.
Carl the Card?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a really good kid.
He's a sweet man.
And he actually texted me the other day. He said, "Can I use your name on my website with a quote?" And I said, "Yeah." So
he's
said,
no Adam Scott, though.
Adam Scott. I cannot wait to meet him.
What a guy. Well, I'll introduce you sometime.
Okay. No, but if you envision this is what you want, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
that's I'm a firm believer in that.
The secret.
The secret.
What is that show?
No, it's the secret. It's the law of attraction, though. Everything starts with a thought. I don't know what the hell you were thinking about him, but
it
started with a thought.
Anyway,
starts with a thought.
So, Bob, when you were 17,
yeah,
what was your goal? Did you have if I make it to Carson or whatever, made it? Did you have do you want to be a movie? Do you want to be on TV? What?
You'd already been on the Gong Show, right?
Well, I was on the Gong Show
at 15.
At 15.
Oh, okay.
Actually, technically, I had just turned 16, but you had to audition three times, and then they would say yes. Then I got it, and then the taping date was like 4 days after my birthday. So I count 15 because that was the process.
Mm-hmm.
But
and that's a very important detail in this story.
It is. I don't want to be a liar.
You've been lying about it for how many years?
No, I haven't.
You've been saying 15, right?
I started going to the auditions at 15, Jason. I'm sorry that you actually just walk into everything and it's okay. Other people have to work their ass off. I don't like this guy.
Jason?
Yeah.
Who does?
Oh, okay. Good point.
I'm a fan.
You like Jason?
Jason, actually, he's like I said,
Jason's
he's
in my top 10, easy.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Of people.
Chick has a post-it note when it comes to people.
Okay. I told you about the post-it note.
You have a post-it note.
One night.
It's of comedians. It's not of people.
It's not people?
No, it's
comedians are people.
They're not. They're comedians.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He asked me how many comedians do you get along with? I had an especially bad weekend, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that what this came out of? And, I said, want to see the list? And he goes, oh, I bet it's on a post-it note. And that's how this, because there were so few that I got along with at that time.
But
not like now.
No, now you're Mr. Lovable.
Well.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, happiness will do that.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, you mentioned earlier that Tony, your brother, was always the funniest in the family. Did you... How did you guys know that? Did you like have a competition or a list? Or?
No. Everybody in the family is very funny. My mom was very witty. Mm-hmm. So I get my wit from my mom. But my dad was very tenacious. I mean, he told those same five jokes mm-hmm. and every time. My dad, because of my age, I had to go to the Gong Show with a parent. So he got out of work and took me down there. That's nice. I auditioned three times for the Gong Show.
When you were 15?
When I was 15. The first time I got it. The second time, to this day, I don't know why I didn't get it. It was very creative for a kid. I took a paper bag mm-hmm. and put it all over my body with just my head exposed. And I said, I'm the Unknown Comics half brother. I thought that was creative. Maybe not with the...
No, that's...
Yeah.
For the time, sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know the... To be honest, I was reacting. I was trying to figure out if the Unknown Comic had been on before you were... Murray had stolen something from you.
Murray is actually a good friend of mine. We did a movie in 88 with Linda Blair. It was him, her, and I. We were the stars called Up Your Alley, and Murray and I played homeless guys. So we're in like 75% of this film.
Was that nominated? Or
it was nominated for straight to DVD.
A Razzie?
But actually, it was a theater. It was a theater, yeah. But anyway, what I was getting about Murray, the reason he did the Unknown Comic... And a lot of people don't know this. He was a very popular comedian. He was on Sonny and Cher. He did all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Well known. But he lost his health insurance through the union. So if he did the Gong Show a few times, he'd get enough money to get his health insurance back. So he came up with the idea of just putting the bag over the head so no one would know who he was. And this thing took off.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember where I was when I forget what the joke was, but he pulled a tissue out of the top of the out of the top of the bag.
Oh,
and I thought, okay, that's... That's too funny to laugh at. We've talked about that on the show before.
I got a great story about him. The movie Confessions of a Dangerous Mind about Chuck Barris and the CIA.
Sure. Great movie. Right. George Clooney.
George Clooney.
Sam Rockwell.
The movie basically had Murray cast as the Unknown Comic. And like two or three days before they go to filming, they cut Murray from the film saying, we want to go with someone younger. Never takes the bag off in the movie. This is the business we're in.
Baby.
And Murray hasn't gained weight, and he still owns all those. He had like 10 Unknown Comics.
I know he sounds the same. He has kind of a distinctive voice.
Yeah, no. But, there was no reason in the world to cut him to go with someone younger. And then the real rub was that the guy who got the part called him up and said, how should I play you? So anyway, Murray said something to George. He's friends with George and Clooney, and they worked it out where Murray's in the film. He's a talking head sitting down talking about Chuck, I think, or something.
I think you're exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Because J.P. Morgan's in it and Murray. Yeah.
J.P. Morgan, they cut away to her during my set, and it looks like she just crapped her pants. It was that how she did not care for what I was doing. And you know who else were the judges? Pearl Bailey and Pat Paulson. How cool is that?
Honey, you know who Pearl Bailey or Pat Paulson is?
Pearl Bailey sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. Is she the one that wore the straw hat and talked goofy on?
Yeah, that's the Pearl Bailey.
No, that's Minnie Pearl.
Oh, whatever.
The one I really like is that Minnie Pearl Bailey, who wears a straw hat and is black.
And sang jazz songs?
Yeah. Yeah.
She was kind of a jazz.
She was a big
way
star.
Back, but a big star so you're in the 50s, though, 40s, 50s.
She wouldn't have been on Hee Haw.
No, she wasn't on Hee Haw.
Probably not. Okay.
Not because she wasn't good enough. I don't think anybody on Hee Haw would let her on the... No. Charlie Pride was on, if that's what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. All right.
Tell that story when your mom found out Charlie Pride was black.
Oh, Bob. My mom and dad loved...
Charlie Pride.
Loved country music, loved Hee Haw, thought it was the funniest damn thing they'd ever seen. And in particular, loved the song that they'd only heard on the radio. Mm-hmm. Charlie Pride, his first hit, I believe, was Kalijah. Poor old Kalijah never got a kiss. That song, it's a standard, I think, or whatever. So Charlie Pride was going to be on Hee Haw on Saturday night. And boy, oh boy, were they excited, specifically my mother. And the show starts, and Buck Owens goes, ha, ha, you know how they intro the everybody,
right.
Ha, 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 here's Charlie Pride, and here's Charlie Pride, and Mom sees Charlie Pride, and she just said, well, I had no idea, and got up and left the room, and it was never spoken of, maybe until right now.
You've there never you told this story on the podcast?
No, not on the podcast. I don't think I've ever told that story in a public way.
I was very, very fortunate. My parents were not prejudiced whatsoever. In fact, my first, fourth grade, my best friend was black. And I remember he came over to the house and Brian Baker, really good guy. And we were playing ball, but we wanted to borrow a bat from Billy next door, and he wasn't home, but the mom was, and I knew the mom was really prejudiced.
Oh.
And so Brian went into the house, and I was like, oh my God, what's going on? What's happening? But she turned out to be very nice about the whole thing, you know? And it's just, it just shows how stupid it is.
Yeah, on the football team, our high school was 50-50.
So, oh, God, yeah, no. It doesn't matter. Yeah. As long as you're a decent person.
It mattered to my mother, I can tell you
that.
So
are we telling our stories about black people we know? I got
it kind of sounds like that, isn't it?
No, I think what we're talking about is just how the times have changed, basically. I mean, it's just completely.
We could give Oreo Jones's Twitter handle if we'd like.
I love
Is it at Oreo Jones?
At Oreo Jones.
Yeah.
Oreo
I love Jones. Him.
Everybody start following at Oreo Jones right now.
He is cute as can be.
Just start following him and.
And painfully talented.
He's
really got a new album out.
He does.
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. Called Betty.
Betty, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Bob.
Yeah. I don't know how we got sidetracked. I can check my droid.
Oh my God, Bob's on his phone all the time.
Jason had a question. What was your, when you first started out, when you got on the Gong Show, you're in show business. Hello, this is show business calling. You're answering. You meet Chuck Barris. You're on a TV set when you're 15, 16 years old. What do you think is going to happen? Did you want Carson's job? Is that what you wanted?
No, and I'll tell you what was interesting. Starting out back then in the late 70s, there really weren't many rewards to be a stand-up comedian unless you did Las Vegas or you did the Playboy clubs. They weren't really getting their own sitcoms. I mean, Freddie Prinze got one and Jimmy Walker, but that
well, you wasn't were there the norm. When the because there was like a boom at one point. Like all of a sudden, there were clubs everywhere with a brick wall. And,
right,
and
middle 80s that started
mid-80s,
happening,
right.
And then it kind of collapsed a little bit because. I've been fortunate. I've done almost every TV show except maybe Letterman. And what happened was I did the last Rodney Dangerfield HBO special, and it was in 1992. And by then, it wasn't special because every channel had a stand-up comedy show.
Right.
When he first started doing it, it was like, that's the thing to see.
I loved him in Ladybugs.
Oh, do you know I had this close to get a part in Ladybugs?
I used to watch that movie over and over and over
again. Oh, I was supposed to be at the very end playing a reporter. I wrote the line and everything. I told it to Rodney. He said, that's great, kid. I want you to go in and pitch it to the producer. And so I did. And the producer's Al Ruddy, who won an Oscar for The Godfather and created Hogan's
what?
Heroes. Yeah.
That must be why I love Ladybugs and Godfathers.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. They're that close together.
So I go in for the audition, and I read the lines, and like halfway through it, he stops me. He says, no, it's not working. I said, oh, did I not read the – No, the whole scene just doesn't work. So I figured out they just kind of wanted to placate Rodney and said, we'll give the kid a shot, but
this is
how we want the film to end. But it was a very funny ending I came up with. He wanted also to borrow my James Bond joke because he was going to do a spy spoof movie.
I love your James Bond joke.
Yeah.
What's your James Bond joke?
I don't know if you've heard the James.
Yeah, you haven't?
I don't know.
Well, I said I love James Bond because if he wants to be with a woman, all he has to do is go, Bond,
yes.
James Bond.
Yeah.
And they would be together. So
right.
I gave it a try. I'm at the Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Hot chick over by the tank.
Shrimp scampi.
Garlic biscuits.
Thank you.
Cheddar,
oh, yeah.
Back
Cheddar
to biscuits.
Bay. Cheddar Bay biscuits.
And you know, it's funny, the line about there's a hot chick over by the tank. It doesn't get a big laugh, but people who get it. Just love.
Yeah.
I have a friend named Ronnie Greenberg. He's a producer, and he comes to see the show. And he's you got to do the James Bond because I just got to hear the hot chick over by the tank. And he has a distinctive laugh, and I'm doing the show, and I do it, and I hear this laugh. He's probably heard it 100 times.
Yeah.
Loves that.
Is there any other profession that man, that is, mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
Because I know there's times where we'll go to a show and the comedian won't know that we're there.
Yeah.
But then they'll do a joke and Chick will laugh and they're like, you could see in their eyes, they're like, where is he?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But it's so rewarding not only to be you and doing the joke and hearing that laugh, but it's rewarding for the guy laughing because he's like, oh, like there's a... Like I said, the Easter Bunny joke and mm-hmm. the...
You feel like it's a personal shout out almost.
Yeah.
When they do a joke you love.
And,
right,
and I got jokes. Shit to do.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, my joke about, and again, everyone thought that it was like I was playing off you. Bob Zaney isn't my real name. My real name is Big Dick McGee.
Yeah, you wrote that before I was thought of.
Before
I
ever knew you were around, and it was like in 92. But that joke, Rodney Dangerfield loved. He said, man, that's the money piece. That's the money piece. He liked three jokes in my act. I had to do a 10-minute set, and I went to the improv to audition for the special. And slayed. I mean, the manager came up and said, I've never seen anyone kill like you killed. And I went, oh, great. So the next day I have to meet Rodney in his hotel suite at the Beverly Hilton to go over my set. And I'm excited because I know how good I did.
Right.
And he has a list and there's three jokes on. He said, these are the money pieces. The rest I don't know.
The rest, I don't know.
But but he was very wise because he knew they were money pieces because those were the jokes that people wanted to hear over and over.
That's
and
the tough over. Part.
And the Big Dick McGee never got a huge laugh, but I feel the jokes that get the biggest laughs are the ones the audience forgets. The ones that get an okay laugh or like a half laugh that kind of touches them, they remember it and they love it. So it's a double-edged sword. You know, you have to get big laughs, but it's okay to have a joke.
What is that about like a movie like Dumb and Dumber or Animal House or those movies that you can watch over and over again?
Yeah, it's
and
comfort.
Still it's like, oh, that's so funny. And I mean, we quote Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura. All that, not that we're.
Well, that's what makes.
Jim Carrey's a close friend of mine.
I think that's what. him. I saw him and Adam Scott at Applebee's.
I bet you did.
Okay,
really?
Sorry. A real quick side note. Because you said Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey used to be engaged to Jenny McCarthy.
Okay.
So today, Bob is in the office and he goes, Jess, come look at who's following me. And it said like something Gail, I don't know, it was three names.
Yeah.
But then he was like, look at her. And I go, Bob, that's a picture of Jenny McCarthy on this woman's, that's not her. He goes, oh, that's not her. And I was like, no, that's not her.
Yeah, you can
I thought a hot chick was following me finally. No, actually, I have some hot chicks, but sometimes they're porn stars, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works.
If you get to a certain number, they start asking you, hey, will you mention this and crap like that.
Okay. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Really?
Check my Twitter.
Okay, you know what? Take this. Leave this at home.
Hey. You got this locked down.
Yes,
remember?
I do.
There you go.
Boy, does she have this locked down. Hours of hearing about how the lockdown occurred and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
In a good way.
Oh, is that what we're going to do? We're going to talk about the hours we spent talking about somebody's relationship? You want to do that?
Hey, one of his best friends. He's allowed to say stuff. I've told you guys a lot of crap.
And
we ain't bringing it up on this show. I'm sorry. That's just private.
You know what we are going to bring up, though, are some email questions. Because I kind of did this. I do this every now and then. I start out tweets, psst. And this one was, psst. We're going to interview Bob Zaney.
Oh.
At this time. And why don't you send me some chickmcgee@chickmcgee.com. Email me some questions for Bob. So here we go.
Okay.
This is from Bart. Bob, I've seen you and Joe Dirt. Now, let me tell you something. If you haven't seen Bob and Joe Dirt, it's very funny. The way you menacingly move toward David Spade. Bob, I've seen you and Joe Dirt. Are you in other movies? Also, sorry to hear about your recent fellatio problems.
What?
Really? That's a fault.
I typed relationship twice, but autocorrect changed it to fellatio.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what that means.
So, in other words, my relationship problems? Is that what he's asking
about? That's what he's asking.
Could possibly be solved with some fellatio. Be honest.
Oh,
what problems couldn't be solved with fellatio? Yeah.
Let's be honest, chick. I Jessica, I'm a giver. I like the two-way
street.
I
heard about this on the way, here.
We got to be team members in this, okay?
Okay, let me do this. You were in Joe Dirt. You're in The Informant with Matt Damon. You're in...
There's a movie called 23 Minutes to Sunrise starring Eric Roberts.
That's coming. Is it out?
It's going to be out soon. It just got a North American distribution deal, so that's going to be coming out probably by the end of the year.
Eric Roberts, crazy. He's a bed bug, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He was kind of a cool guy. In between takes, when we were filming, we filmed in this diner. It's an all-night diner. And, of course, I was goofing around while we sat and shot. Yeah, shocker.
What?
You were making everybody laugh. And even Eric was cracking up.
Trying to get attention?
Not his attention? No, I was just being me.
Aren't you the baby?
I'm the, in
the
my
baby
family.
The family?
I'm the baby boy. I have a baby sister. I'm number three.
Weren't you hit by a car when you were two?
I was hit by a car when I was 2 years old on Memorial Day, 1963.
It's true.
I'm glad you're laughing so hard.
Hang on.
I should not.
Obviously, you're okay.
There's a punchline. Chasing a beach ball.
Chasing a classic story. It was Memorial Day. My mom was unloading the car, and the beach ball started rolling out in the street, and little Bobby goes after it, and boom, truck. And then I told you the best part of that story, though, if I can finish, is that I did not break any bones, but I was wrapped up like a mummy, and they brought me home from the hospital, and my mom said that I was sitting in front of the TV watching Jackie Gleason, and I was laughing. So maybe I needed to be hit by a truck to become a comic.
There you go.
That's crazy.
Dear Bob.
What?
How long have you been in the business of having others fix your jokes? Been listening to Bob and Tom with Chick and Chrissy for 10 years, and it seems you should have some jokes that work. That's from Sean.
Well, some of the jokes do work, Sean. Okay, but I understand. Comedy's cup of tea.
Sean's a smart aleck.
March of 2000, we started doing Fix a Joke. That's over 12 years old itself. And that was just a flippy comment by Tom.
I was going to say, yeah, because you were... Because we're celebrating 15 years, so yeah, because Fix the Joke didn't.
No, that's what Jason was saying, starting, how the whole thing has evolved. I mean, right. The Bing Crosby joke came out of boredom with you. Oh, I just God, started going, everybody, you said, what's that, Bob? I said, I'm bored. I'm doing Bing Crosby now. I'm giving it a shot. So there's a lot of different parts of the feature that people really like.
From Tim in Cincinnati, longtime listener, first-time asker. Nice. Mm-hmm. Bob, how much? Well, we touched on this earlier, actually. How much salmon do you eat?
I like salmon. I like the.
Oh my God! Guys, we seriously talked about this on the way here.
He's love evidently the omega. Some sort of an expert at eating salmon.
He's a giver.
And,
I'm a giver.
He doesn't stop till the job's over.
Oh, the job has to be done.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Let me tell you something.
Oh my God!
I'm so cutting this out of the podcast.
You have no idea, and the fingers are important. Yes, go ahead.
Bob Zadie.
It's a podcast.
You don't know how startling.
Well, it's not X-rated.
No. Here's the thing. You don't know how startling. This is what I think she's speaking to right now in her brain. You can say that on the podcast. Fine, we won't cut it. But I think she looks at you as kind of a big brother, almost kind of a father.
Yeah, when we were on the road, we traveled together.
And I would be there to protect you somewhat.
I think you would.
But you're a tough cow.
Yeah, I can fucking handle this.
My point is...
Oh, great. I'm glad I brought up eating out, and I'm the bad guy, and you can fucking handle this?
My point is...
What?
That she has probably... I'm going to say almost never heard you talk like this.
I haven't. That's very
that's
true.
That's probably...
But you know what?
That's not Bob Zaney to
but
you.
But it's different.
That's Bob Zaney to me.
No, well, yeah. Well, because
really?
You guys are guys.
We're guys being
you
guys.
You talk about that. Yeah, the guys do that. I mean, I think that we've evolved into a new stage of our friendship.
Oh, I'm living at your house.
Right.
And I'm not leaving. So, yeah, no. It's a really so big stage.
Was it the bran muffin that put it over the
oh
over
my
the top?
God.
Let me tell you
the woman made
about.
Me bran muffins.
I did.
Made them by hand.
She there is something else.
We couldn't find any on the east side.
She east could not. Side?
You know, the east side.
Does not have bran muffins.
Bless no, I hearts. Was doing my call-ins thing on the radio, and it was just the greatest experience. And she said, I'm going to Starbucks. I'll get you bran muffins. I said, that'd be great. She comes back, and, you know, I was busy, but I'd come in between calls to kind of say hi. I didn't want to bring up the bran muffin because I know she's busy.
And then all of a sudden he goes...
What's that? And she pulls out a tray of freshly baked bran
muffins. Right,
and now they're being eaten up very fast. If you notice,
everybody at the house really likes the bran muffin.
Everybody's gonna be pooping tomorrow.
There we go.
We got three holes there. We can handle it.
Yeah. From Nathan, hey Chick and Jess, I'm just starting to get active on Twitter and caught your podcast over the last few days. Good stuff, thank you, sir. It's like listening to Bob and Tom for the reason I listen. Chick McGee, oh thank you. Thanks for making me giggle in the morning for all these years. You're welcome, Nathan. Men don't use a term like giggle. I shouldn't talk.
Oh, don't you even, mister. I got a piddle.
I do use piddle instead of...
I say... You don't like that term?
No, piddle.
Well, I use that term for my dogs. They got a piddle.
I can understand with dogs, but you know what?
What were we saying
last night?
But
we were just saying last night, we were at a Chuck E. Cheese for a kid's birthday party. And
I go, babe, you ready to leave? And she goes...
I got to take a piss, and then I'm going to get some cotton candy.
That's sweet.
So
actually, I think that's endearing.
Nice.
And then I grab my crotch.
Yeah, I got to take a piss and then go get a cotton candy.
Zany questions. One, this is from Nathan. Do you have any quirks that no one would expect?
Please define a quirk. Okay, just because I have problems with that word. You mean something, a tick?
Like touching a doorknob two or three times before you open it?
No, I will sometimes worry if I lock the door or not, and I will go back to check.
Not that. Worried about setting off alarms, though, so that's fine.
No, not at all. I set off an alarm in your home, and the sheriff
came
up.
First morning, I'm here, my phone starts ringing, and there's only one person that I allow to call me while I'm on the air.
That's me.
That's her.
You know why?
So I look down at the number.
That.
This is lockdown.
I got the
lockdown. So I look over, and it's a local number, and I'm thinking, well, that's not her unless she's calling from an office. So I let it go. So I pick up the phone, and I listen to the voicemail. This is operator number blah, blah, blah. Your alarm's going off. A slider glass door has been opened. We've sent the County Sheriff's Department. Thank you for it. The first morning, Bob Zaney stays at our house. He sets the alarm off after we told him.
Well, in his, well, see, here's
no,
the
everybody was up and about. I thought it had been
but
turned
it was was kind of a breakdown of communication all the way around because you really didn't know the password.
Well, I didn't know the password. They called the house first, and they said, who is this? And I said, this is Jessica. And she said, okay, Ms. Hooker, can you tell me the password? And so I gave her my four-digit number code I use. She goes, ma'am, it's a password. So I was like, I know what his password is. So I gave him the password that I think Chick always uses. She goes, thank you, Ms. Hooker. You have a nice day. Bitch didn't tell me it was a wrong password, and the sheriff was on his way to the house.
Oh, she was trained.
Next thing.
Yeah.
Bob's standing in his pajamas, and I answer the door. I said, we're fine. And he goes, I'm a guest. I set off the alarm. And he's got bedhead and looking all crazy.
Yeah, I took full responsibility. I believe
Were you worried that they thought that you two were...
They were very trusting.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
No, I was dressed. I was fine.
I was in shorts.
He was...
And flip-flops.
That's another thing. Bob doesn't leave the house unless he's got hard-soled shoes on. Like, we went to the grocery store.
Shoes.
Yeah, and he had to get dressed to go to the store.
Like I would call hard shoes. They're black.
I'm trying to change my image. I'm trying to update. I'm in a new place in my life. Can I say something about your last name, by the way?
Go ahead.
So I ordered some t-shirts to be delivered to the home.
Oh, yeah.
So I gave out the...
You know, I knew it as soon as you were doing it.
Well, what?
You should have given somebody else's name who lives at the house.
Right, that's what I did. So basically, and the woman I know, I've been dealing with him for years, knows I'm going through a divorce. So I give her a different address that she's never sent t-shirts to.
Right.
And I said, and who's it attention to? I said, Jessica Hooker. And she goes, you're kidding, right?
That happened on the road one time. Somebody said, they said, your last name's Hooker. And they just, I mean, they wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
And finally Chick turned around and he goes, it's not like her last name is fucking vagina.
Oh,
would you shut up?
That is so much nicer than talking about giving pleasure.
So back to the t-shirts.
Oh, sorry.
Chick.
Question.
Yeah. So Bob's getting t-shirts sent to your house and knowing how good you are at sending your t-shirts that are available
at
chickmcgee.com.
So chickmcgee.com.
Are you going to start shipping zanies?
No.
I could leave a few. We could put them up for sale.
You know what?
I heard that job's open in your shipping department.
Let me tell you
I could actually have a little side income that no one knows about, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
It's very exciting. We the first time we've ever offered t-shirts. And chickmcgee.com, it says Chick McGee's favorite listener on the t-shirt. But I get such satisfaction out of more or less running, shipping, and receiving. Like I see the emails, I make the address label, I send out the apologetic email saying we're back ordered. I don't think people really think that I'm the one that's typing the email and sending it to them, but by God, I am.
And I
really love it.
And he's not just saying that, people. Because a couple Saturdays ago, after we put them on sale.
I almost call you every Saturday.
Well, Jess was gone that day, so he couldn't call her.
Right.
And he was so giddy.
He was.
Nobody would
have
the last 3 hours. I did this. I
went to the post office and I mailed some big envelopes with t-shirts in them. And I had a very good
I've been doing that for years. It's a great feeling though. Now, did you keep the first order? Did you make a copy of it?
He has them all
on his phone.
I know, but the first one you should frame.
Dollar bill.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll do that. Let's see. Dear Bob, ask Mr. Zaney how the fuck my father, Michael, got a hold of Zany Putty. He's neither so cool or so lame as to have some. It makes no sense. Thanks, Scott Deal.
Well,
we have Zany Putty
right here.
Never had any.
Here.
You've never touched the Zany Putty?
Look how I use my fingers, Jess.
That's disgusting, Bob. Stop doing that.
Like many topics on today's show, the fingers play an important part.
Zany Putty is hours of fun in just under a minute.
There it is.
My favorite
just
line.
Just like Bob Zany. Oh.
Bobby, if they want Zany Putty or an Eat Salmon, the Other Pink Meat t-shirt.
Yeah,
Eat
Salmon, the Other Pink Meat t-shirt. We've got My Real Name is Big Dick McGee, which is quite popular.
Those are great.
The Zany Report, 1 Million Crickets Can't Be Wrong.
Hi Home, I'm Honey. Is that still out there?
That's discontinued. They're only for sale after the shows. I don't have them on the website.
Because this honey ain't home no mo. Just kidding. Sorry.
I'm glad you fixed it. Thanks for fixing it.
I can't decide if the Zany Putty smells
that
good or
not. That bumper sticker's on the trash can in my
office. I saw that.
Where you're staying.
I gave that to you, right? Or I charged
it? I probably just took it.
How do I get...
No, you got it from Greg Warren.
I got from Greg Warren.
How do I get Bob Zany merchandise?
BobZany.com. That's that easy.
Baby.
Come on.
And we got the Wake Me If You're Horny t-shirt, which is number two in the organization. And what I'm going to do when I have time...
Salmon's still number one, though.
Oh, it's still number one. It's quite popular.
And you're very good at it, is what I've heard. Go ahead.
Sounds like you need to put a tagline on the back.
It.
And I'm ready to, you know, get back in the swing of things. You know what I'm talking about?
Ladies.
You know what I'm talking
ladies.
About. No, but I am going to add up how many salmon shirts I've sold over the years because it's been about 12 years. That shirt is as popular as I am because when I bring that shirt up on stage, no. What the hell was that?
That's funny.
You're about as supportive as a gnat. Anyway.
I think they'd have their own little show if I just kind of.
No, yeah. You don't need to be here.
Laid back. Yeah.
No, but the salmon shirt, I'm going to add up how many I've sold over the years because I think it's probably 100,000 at least.
No kidding.
Well, just do the math. If I sold, 10,000 a year, and I've been selling them for like 12 years.
I got to talk to you later about ordering sizes and stuff.
That's a big one. We're going to have a talk. Inventory is the toughest thing.
Have you smelled this?
Inventory. I can't decide if it stinks or smells good.
It looks like bubblegum.
You know it does look like bubblegum, but do you remember, I don't know if I should say this or if you care.
We're
but,
talking about the Zany Putty.
The Zany Putty. There was, Nickelodeon had a substance. It was called GAK, G-A-K.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
and it was
GAK.
Exactly like this. And we would play with it and we'd throw it and then there'd be fucking dog hair in it and be gross and have to throw it away. Nasty.
Come and clean your GAK.
Well, the Zany Putty, the thing is about it, it's finally something for guys that you can shove your fingers in. You don't have to buy it dinner.
And it won't talk.
I don't mind women talking. I like talking to women. Mm-hmm. My best friends are women.
Really?
Yeah. Why do you think Chick and I get along so well?
That makes a lot of sense. I think I was a lesbian in another life.
Fingers in it.
This
Sorry.
Is really
You know weird. What? He's more in touch with his feminine side, and you're more in touch with your masculine
it
side.
It is. It works
And that's
out.
Why it,
it
works,
works
so perfectly.
It
works
it
out.
It is.
It's totally upside down.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Zany, do you look forward to dating?
No, not really.
Not really?
Not really. I mean, okay. I like to meet someone and hang out, but
Just
I don't
forward
know.
To after the date.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying.
Right now, no pressure.
No pressure, baby.
Baby, I'm just...
Do you have a pickup line? You've been out of the game for 20 years.
I have the worst pickup lines.
Let's
I couldn't
hear
help.
It.
I couldn't help notice how horny I am. What's your name? I could drink you under the table, and while you're there, that's my favorite. The worst pickup lines. How about this? I don't care what the bartender says. You're not butt ugly. Even if you are, I'm an ass man myself. That's win-win right there.
Back that shit up.
And it's been a while. I've been out of the game for 20 years, so my pickup line now is going to be, hey, what's your sleep number? Okay.
How about this? Does this feel swollen to you? Why don't you do that one?
Is that
How,
one you used to do?
Anyway.
That's hilarious.
I do a thing called opposite comedy. I'll do a joke like, I said my real name is Big Dick McGee, and then I'll lean to someone in the audience,
I love that.
About having a small penis.
You're so good at talking about having a small penis. No, I meant
that's called opposite comedy. It's not the truth.
No, but I mean, when you interact, that's my favorite thing. When you interact,
I love talking to the crowd.
It is. I mean, I have seen you. Yeah,
I'll tell you,
that's my favorite thing.
I was lucky enough. I got to meet George Carlin in Las Vegas. I was performing at the Maxim Hotel with Brad Upton, a comedian, and Brad was a huge Carlin fan. So he set it up where we could go see him next door at Bally's to perform, and then we got to meet him backstage. And I said, "Hi, George. My name's Bob Zany." And he said, "Yes, you are." And he started doing my act.
No way.
That's awesome.
That's
he was
gigantic.
Going, you're the guy who does, and he says, and he did explain the joke, and he did a couple of my jokes, and I was like going,
oh my God.
How do you react to that?
Yeah.
You go, yay.
Yeah.
That's like me meeting Theismann. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. But it was like George Carlin and Chris Rock is another one. I was at an after party at Saturday Night Live because my good friend Hugh Fink wrote on it at the time, and Chris Rock was walking in, and I'd never met Chris, and I'm a fan or whatever, but he walked in and said, hey, Bob Zany, as if we were old friends. And because those two guys were students of comedy. I mean, they watched all the comics.
Yeah. Chris Rock, a good friend of mine, always.
He's a Facebook friend of mine.
Yeah. Facebook friend, there you go.
But anyway, those guys are students. I'm not the type to watch comics all the time. I kind of want to keep my head fresh, but some people are better at that.
But you know what? Just earlier when Jason said, when you were 17, what was that arrival point? What? How did you know you'd arrived? If George Carlin says and starts rattling off your jokes, that would be it for me.
Well,
right?
Jerry Lewis, I made laugh.
I'd go
to the
open
point
a garden
where,
or something. Huh? I would go home and start my garden.
Look, I've been I'm very grateful for my career. I mean, I've worked with some of the biggest names, Rodney Dangerfield for 2 years. I mean, to do his HBO special, Ed McMahon, Jerry Lewis. I would make Jerry Lewis laugh so hard he almost fell on the ground. I mean, and I remember a good friend of mine who's a big time producer for Adam Sandler and David Spade, and he was a comedian, but he does the writing and producing. And he saw my documentary, he saw that scene where Jerry's laughing so hard and falls down. He says, I would give anything in the world to have had that happen.
Yeah.
Because it's like I've had like 12 of those things in my career where very big, iconic people just are fans.
That's awesome.
And that means, because it means you're doing it right, because we're the toughest audience. You know that.
Oh, right. Oh,
performers are the toughest audience. We pick and choose. I mean, when I book comedians in comedy clubs, I always said, if I book the comics I like, I'd only pick five.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like, well,
we were talking earlier driving over here. It was just like, we should go hang out at the comedy club tonight. See who's on. Bob goes, why in God's name would I want to hang out at the comedy club? I mean, and it's true. I mean, well, unless there's somebody incredible on stage.
Yeah. You know, though, I take that back.
Unless it's a friend on stage.
I've become very open-minded. So, I mean, I play. No, I have. I mean,
I know.
What about minorities? About, are you open-minded about minorities?
No,
I love them.
Okay.
Bob
because
didn't.
I live in, you know why? I live in L.A. What I'm happened? A minority.
That's true.
Good are point. You a Yankee?
Are you a Yankee? No, but... I don't even know what we're just talking about, but it was really important.
No, you're from L.A., so I guess you're Mexican.
No, but no.
The
no.
Joke.
Yeah. What I'm talking about.
Let me tell you your joke.
I accomplished my goal of 50 at 50.
50 states at 50.
Before
That's
I
awesome.
Turned 51. Yep. And the last four states was Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and Vermont. And the first night was in New Hampshire and Manchester. They had an open mic night Wednesday night. And I was very professional. I got dressed. I went down. He didn't even know I was coming. And I went up to the guy. I said, I'd like to sign up for the open mic night, you know. And he says, well, this is a booked open mic night. His name's Nick David. Very nice guy. And I said, oh, okay, well, my name's Bob Zaney, and I kind of want to perform in New Hampshire. And he stops and does a double take. You'll be going up. Don't worry.
Oh, that's
so he
nice.
Knew who I was, and it was really cool.
Yeah,
but it was like I did the professional thing. I didn't say, "Don't you know who I am?"
Right.
You know,
that's your Drew that. Hastings voice.
unacceptable.
Well,
I'm still freaking mayor.
Well, Drew's kind of like that.
Yeah, but
I'm kidding, Drew. You know that I love you.
Well, Drew, I don't think Drew likes me right now. I think we had a falling out or something.
That's
something happened.
He always has to have someone.
He's very busy.
Yeah, I think I am the guy right now, which is fine because I understand Drew's psyche perfectly. And I dearly love Drew. But, you know, if he wants to be mad at me, that's his choice.
I'm going to ask you to do to tell everyone my favorite entertainment celebrity story.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Are you still playing with a zany buddy?
I made a vagina.
I know what to do with that. Come here, bring it over.
Oh, God, Bob, stop.
You do the alphabet.
Oh, my God, look how big that is.
Yeah, let's get a picture of that for the website.
Well, it really is a vagina by the color.
Are we going to start putting up pictures on the website? That sounds exciting.
I don't know.
I would think you should always, you're getting a picture with each guest, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
You should get a picture side by side.
I haven't had a picture of anyone. We haven't had pictures of anyone. You'll be the first.
I was supposed to do the first podcast. I didn't bring that up, but...
you weren't here when we did it.
I know.
Okay.
But the point is I could be the first picture for the podcast.
There you go.
You got to have it for posterity, because one day you're going to wake up and you've done 100 of these.
I don't know about that.
That's
you're
the
right,
attitude.
Hold on, I got to make another vagina.
Right.
What the heck is it? I don't know.
I got to make another vagina.
I want you to tell your favorite celebrity entertainment story, and then I'm going to ask you to tell... my favorite.
Do I know that story? You know. Is that one I've told you?
I don't know if it's your favorite, but it's my favorite.
Okay, well, you're going to have to give me a hint.
Ew.
My favorite entertainment, I don't want you to tell it, though, because I want you to tell one that's your favorite, and then I'm going to ask you to tell me my favorite.
Well, I think my George Carlin one was a big one, but go ahead.
My favorite's the Bob Hope story.
Oh, that type of story about the
right.
check?
Right.
Well, Bob Hope, towards the end of his career, are you getting a good shot with her with the vagina?
I don't know if you can tell it's a gyne.
It's fine. You know, don't worry. This is not perfection.
Is that the slang? Where
I really wanted to tell the story. I can check
there.
My voicemail.
Oh, yes. Look at this.
What about... No, don't tell that one first. Tell one that's your favorite
look
first.
Look at Bob. Look at this vagina.
That's okay.
No? No, that's it kind of looks old, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks a little old, a little big.
Is that... Yeah, not, no, it does
like
look
like it's
big,
been around for a while.
Hang
it
on
does.
A second.
So Bob Hope.
Are you having a good time?
I'm having a great time. I've never had this. I've never had zany putty. Well, nobody's ever brought me any zany putty, never sent anything to my
and
house.
And you're never going to have just a zany either, okay?
But the Bob Hope is my... What is your favorite entertainment story like that?
The Bob Newhart, Fred McMurray story.
Oh, yeah.
And the
book I told you
yesterday. Yeah, I really liked it because it's about perspective.
Right.
You know, and how people are really not... Mm-hmm. Don't know how fortunate they are. And so Bob Hope in his autobiography
Bob Newhart
talked about meeting Fred McMurray in the 60s and playing golf with him. At the time, Fred McMurray had all the money in the world. He's highest paid guy on television. Only had to work 3 weeks out of the year.
Had done like monster movies. Very successful movies.
If you're 30 and under, you know him from the dad on My Three Sons from Nick at Night.
And that was the show
he's
doing.
That's how you know him.
And Fred McMurray.
Playing golf. And all the money in the world. More money than God. And there's Bob Hope, who was a starting out comedian who was becoming successful.
Bob Newhart.
Yep. Bob Newhart.
Sorry.
Did I say Bob Hope again?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm upset. I love that Bob Hope story.
Where we're going to get to.
So they're playing golf, and Fred McMurray starts to complain to Bob
Newhart
that the plumber came over and was charging $40 an hour. And he turned to Bob Newhart without even cracking a smile and said, "Boy, we're in the wrong business.
$40 an hour." And he was complaining.
Yeah, let's go back to plumber's crack. Why don't we do that? And then the Bob Hope story.
The Bob Hope story.
Okay, Merrillville, Indiana at the Star Plaza Theater. After the show, I did a show there with Geechee Guy and Jackie the Joke Man Martling. And we went out to dinner with everybody. And the guy that ran the theater had been there forever. And right towards the end of Bob Hope's life and career, he got booked there because Bob just wanted to work.
Mm-hmm.
So he got paid $100,000. The manager handed him a check for... Oh, you haven't heard this story.
No.
Handed him a check for $100,000. Bob was kind of losing a little bit at the time, and then put it in his coat pocket, did his show, and left. So 2-3 months goes by. Check is not cash. So the manager's gone. He's just waiting for that 6-month cutoff because that check's no good, and he's got a bonus.
Right.
That's what he was saying. 5 months, nothing goes by. Like 3 days before it expires, the check is cashed.
Huh.
And he found out later on that Dolores, his wife, would go through old coat pockets of Bob and just find checks like that all
the
frickin' time.
Yeah.
How rich are you that a 100,000 check doesn't matter? Do you know a $6.98 residual check's very important right now
right,
to me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not the one. That's a great story, but that's not the Bob Hope one I was talking about.
Are you serious?
Oh, Nino, yeah.
This Bob Hope story is, and this is what we're going to end on.
Okay. Ken Stein, who was the stage manager at Jerry Lewis Telethon, we were filming there for the documentary, and we filmed him because he was also the stage manager at Star Search. So, and Ken was always there. He helped me out during I would do something wacky. Well, he was holding up cue cards for me once, and a joke bombed, and I walked over and I pulled out the cue card. It's empty. I said, "There's got to be a joke on here. That's why I didn't go over."
So, come on, Ken.
Yeah. Right. So he told me he was stage managing at the Hollywood Bowl. Bob Hope was going to get a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Hollywood Bowl Lifetime Achievement Award.
Bob Four Hope. Ex-presidents.
It's the Hollywood Bowl.
Four ex-U.S.
Yeah, it's an outdoor venue.
They do the Playboy Jazz Festival there. It's a really big band show.
Yeah. You've probably seen it.
Right off
movie.
Of Cuenca.
Oh,
horrible
yeah.
parking.
Yeah, give
anyway.
Me the street. Now I don't know where it is.
Should I talk about My Little Pony or something so you can be included in this crap?
Okay.
Easy, pal.
I'm sorry.
You should dream about getting one of these, okay?
I do. She's fantastic. You know, I'm home alone with you while you're working.
Yeah, I was concerned after the bran muffins this morning. He was pretty excited.
I gave her a hug. It was an innocent hug.
Bob Hope is there. He's being honored. Lifetime Achievement Award. There are four ex-presidents there.
Four ex-presidents, Jason, of the United States of America.
Honoring Bob Hope.
Right. So Bob Hope was told he was going to be out of there at 6 o'clock.
They told him, "Bob, you're going to come get the award, but you can leave by 6 o'clock.
They're running 45 minutes late, and it's like 5 o'clock. He's standing back going, 6 o'clock, I'm out of here.
Bob Hope saying, 6 o'clock,
and Ken,
I'm out of here. There are four ex-presidents.
And Ken Stein kept going. His job as a stage manager to calm down the performers, make sure they...
Yeah, I know, I did that.
Oh, God. Why does it always come back to her? Anyway, Bob Hope's doing this.
Right.
6 o'clock. And then they're like 15 minutes to 6. They're still 30 minutes late. 6 o'clock.
I'm leaving at 6 o'clock.
But, you know, I taped that story and I can get that story because he probably tells a heck of a lot better. But just the crust of that story is just amazing. He had that power.
But
he did get the award. I think he didn't leave. I think he did stay a little extra, but it was almost, he was out of there. But I respect that, too. It's because time is time is valuable, you know, and you show up to these things. Corporate shows are the worst because they never on time. Got to be there at 8, and you go on at 8:30, and it's 9:45, and they're having dessert. And okay, it's your turn. Okay, I've done one corporate show out of probably 300 or 400 was on time, like a Mussolini train, and I loved it.
Larry David says that. Good friend of mine, Larry David. He said, "These people calling me want me to come host some things or be in an appearance." He goes, my most important commodity right now is my time.
Is your time, right. Yeah.
I'll send them a $100 check.
Yeah, send them a check.
I'm not, I can't, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's because it's depending time. On how it's organized, some of them are organized so well that it goes by fast and it can be fun. But I understand too, when I hear Seinfeld and Leno, who probably make $250,000 for a corporate show,
sure.
will go, I'm not going tonight. I'm going to stay home.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you can do it, God
stay
bless
home,
you.
Stay home, yeah. Watch the cat and make some bran muffins.
Yeah.
Or
well, she did in the morning.
Wash that cat.
The farmhouse wife over here did in the morning out in the country.
Okay. Bob Zaney.
As I look at the bean field in the background.
Bob Zaney, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Chick.
Thank you for being on the Bob and Tom Show for 15 years.
Thank you very much. And I know, and you know what? I probably would not have survived without your laughter, and I appreciate it. You really have helped me out over the years, and I gratefully appreciate it, Chick.
Well, you're more than welcome.
You're so important to me in my life, so thank you.
Thank you, Bob, and you're important in mine.
Well, you don't have to reciprocate, do you? Mm. Unlike what I do, I'll tell you that much, you're going to get taken care of.
What the hell's going on over there?
Not Jessica, I'm talking in general.
Jess, thanks.
You're welcome.
See you at home.
Okay.
All right. Bob Schneider, here we go. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Got my bed turned on. I'm a machine gun. Biscuits and gravy. And the whip run. Make the bowl of fire. Black hole pearl.
BobSchneiderMusic.com. Go get some music. Right, Bob?